Genesis 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now there's a wonderful picture of the finished work of the Lord Jesus right there at the beginning of the Bible, right there at creation. God's creation was completed after 6 days. And we know from the original Hebrew that it means 6 24-hour days. It's the Hebrew word yom, Y-O-M, which is a literal 24-hour day. Away with this bunkum that people talk about today, that when Genesis 1 talks about days, it doesn't mean 24-hour days, it means longer periods of time. Rubbish. 6 24-hour days, the Lord did it all. He could have done it in 6 hours, 6 minutes, 6 seconds for that matter. But there was the work of creation finished. Nothing had to be added to it. Think for a moment about just one part of creation, the flowers. Let's say that I take my paintbrush. Now, if you want some painting done, don't come to me, because you're talking P1 level. But let's say I take my paintbrush and I go to a wee lily or a wee violet or some other flower, and I start to paint the wee flower. What happens? The wee flower's ruined. I have spoiled it by trying to add to that beautiful little flower that God has made. I've messed it up. I've ruined it. You see, God's creation is perfect. And whenever man tries to add to it, what he actually does is take away from it. He subtracts. It's not possible to add to the beauty of God's creation. If some of you ladies were to take your perfume bottle and you were to go to a wee flower and spray some perfume on the flower, what would you be doing? Well, all you would be doing would be spoiling the flower. Same thing again. Exactly the same. Because God has created that little flower with a beautiful perfume that's far more beautiful than any perfume that has ever been created in the cosmetic industries of today. It's perfect. God's creation is completely perfect, and after 6 days it was perfect. Now, it's 6,000 years later, and you could go to the flowers today and they've still got that incredible beauty about them. But it was done. In Genesis chapter 1 at the end, God saw everything that he had made and it was very good. In other words, it was perfect. It was finished. And then at the start of chapter 2, we have the first occurrence of that word finished. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished. Adam, don't try to add to it. Eve, don't try to add to it. Because it is finished. Friends, I want you to notice what God did after he had finished the work of creation. It tells us in verse 2 and in verse 3 that he rested. Glory to God. Those who are lost and without Christ tonight, they can rest upon his finished work. Just like God the Creator rested whenever he had finished the work. Here's an invitation for you and for me to rest upon the work that Christ did upon the cross. Don't run around trying to do things in order to be forgiven. Just rest. There's something wonderful about rest. Whenever your mind is resting, maybe you've had a hard day, a rough day, and we all do have days like that. It's nice to get a quiet corner. And if you're like me, you just go out to the backyard and you get yourself a wee deck chair and you just go to your relaxation station. And it's nice for the mind to get rest. It's nice for the body to get rest too. People today don't seem to realize that God has given them one day in seven to rest the body. That's the way the Lord has made us. And it's so important that we rest one day in the week. That's why it's wrong for us as believers to be running here, there and everywhere on a Sunday. I mean, if you wanted, you could go to half a dozen meetings on a Sunday. But that would be wrong. The Lord doesn't want you to go to half a dozen meetings on a Sunday because you've defeated the purpose of the Sabbath. It's for physical rest and mental and emotional rest. The Lord Jesus himself, when he came to this earth, and you remember on one occasion that he said to his disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." The Lord, the lovely Son of God, the incarnate God of heaven, he realized the importance of rest. Friends, there are people who will expect you to do the work of 10 men. But the Lord Jesus will never expect you to do that amount of work. He knows physically what you're able to do, and he knows that you can't be in 10 places at the same time. So don't worry about what people expect of you, just worry about what the Lord Jesus expects of you. But you know, there's, as we think about physical rest and mental rest, my spiritual rest is the greatest rest of all. Just being able to rest our sinful souls upon the finished work of Christ. There is absolutely nothing like it. Are you doing that right now? 7:45 this Sunday night. Are you resting in the crucified, as the hymn writer said? Let me encourage you, if you're not, to begin to do that right now. Don't even wait another 15 minutes until we have the benediction. No, rest on him right now. The work of Christ has been finished. I don't know whether you have any interest in classical music. There's a composer, an Austrian composer, Franz Schubert. He had his unfinished symphony. He started a symphony in the year 1822, but he didn't finish it. He died before he finished it. He died, actually, just reading this afternoon, very young. He was only 31 when he died. But he was an incredibly gifted composer, and there was his unfinished symphony. Friends, I'm glad tonight that we have a finished symphony. It's the finished symphony of the cross. What a symphony it is. What sweet music comes from Calvary. It's music to soothe our sinful souls. It's music that makes the wounded spirit whole. Christ's finished symphony. Yes, it is finished. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer. He wrote The Jungle Book, and boys and girls, you've maybe read The Jungle Book or you've seen the film. Well, Mr. Kipling, he wrote many, many other books, and he wrote many poems too. A prolific poem writer. There's one, the title of it is If. That's a short title for a poem, If. But he started another poem, but he didn't finish it. Kipling's unfinished poem. I don't know the title of it. But I know that he didn't get it finished. You know, whenever the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross of Calvary and his precious ruby blood began to flow down his broken body, my, what a poem he wrote. And he finished the poem. Not everybody can write poems. Sometimes you go to weddings and there's people stand up and quote poems. They think they can write poems, and you're nearly under the table by the time they're finished. It's not something everybody can do. But there are certain people who are gifted at writing poetry. I remember when I was at high school and doing A-level English literature, we studied W.B. Yeats, Galway that he was from, wasn't it? Or Mayo or somewhere down there. And I didn't really have an awful lot of interest in it. I didn't really appreciate the beauty of Yeats's poetry. But now, if I was to sit down and was to read some of his poems, you could appreciate it. Some people say that he was actually a believer. I don't know. But I know when it comes to poetry, there never was a greater poem written than the poem that the blessed Lord Jesus penned at the cross. Because every part of the poem was perfect. You know how it is, there's some poems and they don't rhyme, or they're out of place, or they just don't fit. There's something not right with them. Well, the poem that Jesus wrote at Calvary was perfect. What a poem. What poetry. And by the way, he didn't write it with ink. He wrote it with his own blood. Yes, Rudyard Kipling had his unfinished poem, but Jesus has given us the finished poem of Calvary. Raphael, the great painter, had his unfinished painting. You know, whenever he was buried, they actually carried his unfinished painting after the hearse, after the remains. He started the painting, but he didn't get it finished. But whenever the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross, whenever he became sin for us and became our substitute, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, he painted the greatest masterpiece of all. And it was finished. He put the finishing touches to his masterpiece when he cried, "It is finished." Let's not take our clumsy paintbrush and ruin it. You know, like some people seem to think that they've got to add to it and give the Lord Jesus a helping hand. You know, there's some people, I'm serious now, there's some people, and they think that Jesus kind of paid a deposit at the cross. Sort of putting a down payment on our salvation. Now, it's over to you to pay the rest of it. Grit your teeth every day. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. Try to obey the golden rule. And then it'll be paid in full. Because Jesus only paid the deposit. He only paid part of it at the cross. No, Jesus didn't pay the deposit. He paid it all. He paid the lump sum. In one lump sum, Christ paid in full for our salvation. This beautiful painting has been completed. It's not like Raphael's unfinished painting. This word finished, it's a word that farmers would have used in Bible times. And my higher hearts go out today to the farmers, the farming community, because this has been a very difficult month. It's been a very difficult harvest season so far. So much rain. I mean, the fields are waterlogged. And we just need to pray that the Lord will be merciful and give us more days like today and give the farmers more days like today. Because there's barley harvests out there and fields of barley, and they're going to be lost unless there's more sunshine. But maybe the Lord will be gracious to us and will give us the sunshine that we need. But the farmer would, whenever the farmer saw a beautiful young animal born into his herd, might have been a calf, might have been a lamb, a kid, whatever animal it was, and the farmer looked at the little animal and he couldn't find any fault. My, it was so beautiful. Boy, it was a lovely animal. He would say, "Finished. It is finished. Perfect. Such beauty." That's the response tonight whenever we read about the finished work of Christ. What beauty. There's a lovely phrase in Psalm 22, verse 31. Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the Cross, part of a triplet, a trinity of Psalms. 22nd Psalm, Psalm of the Cross, Psalm 23, which we know oh so well, it's the Psalm of the Crook, it's about the shepherd. Psalm 24 is the Psalm of the Crown. But Psalm 22, I want you to notice the last verse, the very last verse of this Psalm, verse 31. "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this." Now, if You have a pen or a highlighter. When you go home, mark those four words, "He hath done this." Because it's exactly the same as the words that Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." It's like a mirror image of John 19, verse 30. He hath done this. Psalm 22, up until verse 31, it's describing what Christ endured on the cross that we might be saved. But in verse 31, at the end, it's saying that the work is finished. The work is completed. And nothing remains to be done. Nothing, either great or small, nothing, sin or no. Jesus did it all, long, long ago. When he, from his lofty throne, stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Hearken to his cry. Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing, all was done. Long, long ago. Till to Jesus' work you cling by a simple faith. Doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. It is finished, yes indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not?